Good morning. It is Wednesday, January 7th, 2015, and we're back to business here at City Hall. This is the publicrecord.ca morning podcast. I'm Joey Coleman, and here's what I'm watching today. Staff reports for next week's committee meetings will be released. Amongst the reports, the dedicated downtown bus lane, which councillors will debate next Wednesday at General Issues Committee. Watch for a full story on that report later today. The Hamilton Mountain federal MP race is getting interesting, with one councillor already declaring they're seeking the NDP nomination and another councillor looking at the Liberal nomination. The 2015 city operating budget estimates were released this week, and depending how you calculate it, the preliminary tax increase number is between 3.8% and 5.4%. Go to thepublicrecord.ca for the full budget summary story. And today's podcast ends with the interview I did on Sunday with Mayor Fred Eisenberger and Public School Vice Chair Alex Johnstone. We discuss what their hopes are for the coming new year and if they think they can repair the relationship between the city and the school board. Let's start on Hamilton Mountain with the race to replace NDP MP Chris Charlton. Charlton announced December 5th that she would not seek re-election in the 2015 federal election. Charlton's announcement was a surprise to many political observers and came only weeks after the 2014 municipal election. Prior to this announcement, nobody was paying attention to Hamilton Mountain's federal race. It was assumed Chris Charlton would easily win re-election. Now, it's an open seat. And Ward 7 Councillor Scott Duvall has announced he's seeking the NDP nomination for the Hamilton Mountain seat. Charlton is backing another candidate in the nomination race and is publicly criticizing Scott Duvall, saying he's not living up to the commitment he made to voters when they re-elected him for another four-year term at City Council. The question I have, did Chris Charlton know before the municipal election that she planned to retire? Did she tell Scott Duvall? If she did, why did he run? If she didn't, would have that changed Duvall's decision to seek re-election to council? As the NDP fights amongst itself, the Liberals are courting Ward 6 Councillor Tom Jackson to be their nominee on Hamilton Mountain. Jackson did run for the Harper Conservatives in 2004, but has shifted back to the Liberals since that time. I'm hoping to find Councillors Jackson and Duvall here at City Hall in the next day or two and ask them for more clarification on their ambitions. The salary of a federal member of parliament is $165,000 a year. The salary of a city councillor is approximately $88,000. On the agendas for next week, going to be watching for, of course, that downtown bus lane report, but also 14 James Street North. That's the alleyway that was leaking into the sirloin cellar, forcing the sirloin cellar to close. There's a staff report for the city to close the alley and to declare the alleyway surplus property. One agenda has been released for next week, and that's the Advisory Committee for Persons with Disabilities. Of note on that agenda, a staff presentation on accessible taxi review and the first presentation by new transit director David Dixon. He will be speaking to the committee about the issues they have with the HSR. This will be the first public presentation by David Dixon as transit director, and I'll be watching it very closely for signs of which direction he is taking the HSR and what his plans are to improve the transit agency. So Monday's meeting, Public Works Committee in the morning, afternoon, Board of Health. Tuesday, we have Planning Committee, and in the afternoon at 4 p.m., the Advisory Committee for Persons with Disabilities. Wednesday is General Issues Committee, and Thursday is the capital budget presentations by city staff. The capital budget report has not yet been made public. I am trying to get that from city staff today. 2015 city budget report is out. Take a look at thepublicrecord.ca. I've done an extensive summary of the budget and some of the items of note. Water rates will be voted on this Friday, and water rates are looking to go up at 4.2% for an average of $24.10 for the typical residential water user. User fees for city services, excluding transit and a few other programs, are going to go up by an inflationary 2% in 2015. Also, I invite you to take a read of the editorial I wrote this morning about the city budget process. 3.8% is the maintenance budget. So 3.8 represents what the city has to increase taxes to maintain 2014 services. Of note, in the editorial, I go into a little bit of detail as to why council has to make tough decisions this time. They can't turn to the future fund. They can't dip into reserves without risking the city's credit rating. There's only one asset right now that's on the selling block that they could look at using, and that's Jackson Square. I'm hoping to look a little bit more in depth in terms of the city's negotiations with Yale's properties around Jackson Square. Yale is looking to extend their lease that currently has 56 years remaining by 50 years, promising to do extensive renovations to the square and to the Stelco Tower. Watch for that in the coming weeks. That is going to take a bit of time for me to get information on. And that's it for today's podcast. We wrap it up with audio from Sunday when I had the opportunity to sit down with Mayor Fred Eisenberger and Hamilton Wentworth District School Board Vice Chair Alex Johnstone at the Mayor's New Year's Levy. Thank you for listening, and thank you for your support that enables me to keep doing this. The background music you hear on this podcast is courtesy of CC Mixter user Grey Guy, and it's called CC Remix, and it's licensed under Creative Commons Attribution. This podcast and all original content on thepublicrecord.ca is licensed under Creative Commons Attribution Share Alike. School Board, Alex Johnstone.
Hello. Happy New Year, everyone.
So New Year's podcasts are always the nice one because we get to lay out our hopes for the coming year. So we'll start with you, Mr. Mayor. What is the hopes that Mayor Fred has for the coming year?
Well, you know what? It's a long list, but we want to get started on a number of issues. First of all, online voting is an issue that I want to get to sooner rather than later. Has a little bit to do with not only just the voting aspect, but the education aspect of it. And I want to talk to our school board members about getting students inspired about the electoral process long before they become a voting age. But that's a whole other issue, and I think we can talk about that. Obviously, LRT is and public transit is on the agenda, and I want to get sooner rather than later a number from the province, and I expect that we'll get that before too long in terms of what they're prepared to fund so that we can then make a decision on what kind of a system Hamilton should be going after. And obviously our budgets are coming at us fast and furious this coming month, which would be an overriding priority, of course, this year. So the list is long. I mean, there's waterfront development, our infrastructure needs attention as it has in the many, many years, leading up to this. And at some point, we're going to have to get serious about dealing with the infrastructure deficit we currently have.
Vice Chair.
Thank you. First and foremost, I think 2015 is going to be a very exciting year. We have a brand new board of trustees. We had seven newly elected trustees, and the board is great. I think we can all say that everyone brings a system perspective as well as their local community perspective, and that's exactly what you need when you are a trustee on a school board. Some of the major things that we're going to be looking at this year is certainly hiring a new director. Our current director, John Malloy, has been swept up by the province, and so it's great for the province. Unfortunately, it is Hamilton's loss, so we will be looking to hire a new director this year, and trustees will be forming our new strategic directions for the next 4 years. As well, we go into labor negotiations, so we're already underway with that at the provincial level. Once that is sorted out at the provincial level, and this is the first time there's been negotiations at the provincial level, we'll be negotiating locally here in Hamilton as well.
Well, I have both here the mayor, vice chair of the school board. Last year, there was a bit of strain between the city and the public school board. The joint relationship committee had not met. There was a lot of heated rhetoric. Of course, being an election year, there's always heated rhetoric, so we need to keep that in the context. But what are you guys hoping to do about that relationship? Are you hoping to fix it, or are you hoping to rocket sock them and, do a pay-per-view?
Fix it, obviously. I think, it's imperative that we have a good relationship with the city and the school boards. public and separate school boards, and for very obvious reasons. You know, you can't plan your city properly if you're not coordinating the schooling aspects of it, as well as the development and redevelopment aspects of it. So it's critically important that we find a way of working together. There was a pretty active relation. I hate to go back to, you know, 4 years ago, but we had a pretty active relationship then, and Judith Bishop and I actually set out a criteria in terms of how we were going to deal with school closure issues and how we were going to be more proactive on how that was going to happen. We set out a protocol, but I think all of that's just kind of vaporized and disappeared and wasn't really followed up on by I think efforts were made by the school board, wasn't really kind of adhered to or at least followed up on the city side. So I'm looking forward to kind of reestablishing a relationship. I made a point of going to their inaugural meeting, which I think is critically important. We need to support one another. The school board is as important as the city council is. There's no difference in my mind. I think the impact is significant, and we need to find a way of working together without pointing the finger at one another.
Well, I've been enjoying the New Year's levy here today, and certainly there is a number of trustees that came out, and I think that goes to show that school trustees are very interested in having a solid and healthy relationship with the city. I was chatting to one of our school trustees today, Penny Deeth, who represents Flamborough, and she was telling me about how she's already started working with Councillor Partridge to set up a youth council for their area, which is a fantastic idea, and how to get youth involved in municipal issues. That's the kind of relationship that I believe we'll start to see across the city with individual trustees and their city councillors.
Well, that actually segues sort of nicely into an issue that I think we could have an active discussion on, which is youth involvement at the City of Hamilton, City Hamilton governance. So at the City of Hamilton itself, there are two separate youth advisory groups. There's the mayor's youth advisory group, which fed into the mayor but did not go to council. And then there was the Hamilton Youth Advisory Committee, which meets in the basement of the Lister Block, does not have a council representative, officially reports to council, but the minutes are just filed away, hasn't been able to make quorum since March. And then there's also, at the school board level, the student senate and the student trustees. So I almost wonder myself, looking back when I was actively involved as a youth, there was only one youth committee at the school, at the city. The school board had the student senate, but there wasn't student trustees, so there wasn't that direct advisory feed. So I'm almost wondering, is it that we have these three that are splitting up the energy, or is it that we just have youth with too much to do, or is it that we're not giving them the resources to be active, so they choose not to be? Mayor Fred, we've had some discussions with your office about the youth committee. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I mean, from my perspective, it doesn't make sense to have two. I think we need to narrow it down to one and make it effective. So, you know, I don't have the complete answer right now. We're actually looking at both of those committees and seeing who's on them and what their mandate was and how they got started in the first place. You know, I know that the youth advisory group that we'd set up was working, you know, 4 or 5 years ago, and then some other group was set up thereafter. Not sure why, and don't really care at this point. What matters is how do we get the youth voice engaged in our process, and how do we make sure that it's not just lost in the weeds, as you say, that it's actually an effective voice that makes them feel like they're actually being listened to. And I think that may be the reason why they haven't met, that they've got a sense that, you know, what they say and what they're offering doesn't really matter. And it matters to me, and I think we need to find a way of sorting that out. And we'll bring a kind of a recommendation to council to kind of merge these two groups into one and find a way of making it effective.
Youth have so much to offer, and certainly at HWDSB we have student voice forums, which give students the opportunity to provide input and feedback on the programs that we are providing them. And it has actually changed the programs that we've offered. We've heard from students in regards to technology. We've heard from students in regards to apprenticeship programs and experiential programs, even in terms of how classes are being taught. All of that is being informed by student voice forums. I think that it's so valuable to give students the opportunity not just to learn about democracy, but to actually engage in it and practice it, and that's where student voice forums have been really effective. I'm currently the student trustee mentor for the school board, and so I attend our student senate meetings. The students involved are phenomenal. What I would like to see is more students involved, and I think that it's wrong to say that students aren't involved. Perhaps they're not engaging in the ways that we necessarily want to engage them in, but I know in this past election, all the kids in Benbrook know who their counselor is. They know it's Brenda Johnson. They know that Brenda Johnson brought them the skate park. And I think that when counselors are engaging with youth, youth respond. And when it's done in a meaningful way, students are more than willing to provide feedback and get involved in the process.
All right. Sorry, Mayor Fred, you wanted to add something?
Well, no, it kind of leads into the online voting and the learned behavior that voting is that I think I want to talk to the school board about is how do we introduce a process where at every election there's a day or two or three where the schools actually engage in the electoral process, look at the candidates, look at the difference between parties, and actually vote. Whether it means something at the end of the day doesn't matter. It's just an opportunity for them to learn why it's important, how it has impact in their lives, what those choices mean at the end of the day when they do vote, so that by the time they get to be a voting age, it's actually a learned behavior that they're accustomed to and more prepared to actually take part in. I think we've dropped that ball a long time ago. I'm not faulting anyone. I think we've all dropped that ball, either in the home or in the schools, and I think we need to find a way of, if it's not happening in the home, that we need to find a way of having it happen in the school environment where they can actually learn to vote, learn to be a participant from grades 1 all the way through to grade 12.
And a really interesting fact, too, is we know that when students are talking to their parents about voting, mom and dad are more likely to get out and vote.
Yep.
At the provincial and federal level, we do run student vote in our schools where schools are interested and where there's individuals willing to help organize it. Certainly, that is something that could be looked at the municipal level and working with organizations such as Student Vote.
So the toughest question I'm going to ask you today, what are your New Year's resolutions? We'll switch up the order. Vice Chair Johnstone, you first.
My New Year's resolutions is to certainly to be working and supporting the new Board of Trustees. But at a personal level, I think just to be healthy and to find time to eat right and to be healthy, to be a proper role model in that sense.
Mayor Fred?
So I didn't make one. I'm kind of beyond New Year's resolutions. I mean, my mantra is, Ms. Johnson here, is that, being healthy is priority number one for everybody. Kind of healthy work-life balance, I think everyone needs to be mindful of. We've had, for a long time, have had this notion that if you work really, really hard, that all good things will come. And that may be true to some degree, but you also have to make time for health and wellness. And that means that you also need some off time. So for me, it's always about work-life balance. So I didn't make a resolution, but I'm committed to making sure that not only myself, but our staff and council are balancing their lives appropriately so they can be effective. And I think it's almost a selfish thing, quite frankly. People that are not well and are stressed out and not performing at their best is not helpful for our community, is not helpful for our council, and not helpful for our city.
On health, Mayor Fred, your hand seems to be healing quite well. You gave me a handshake earlier, mm-hmm. and much to my surprise, it was the strong handshake that you normally have. Are you willing to speak a little bit about how that process of healing is coming along for you?
Well, I'm eternally grateful to the burn unit, the General Hospital. They've done a fabulous job of looking after me day to day. They've been treating the burn and right from day one, and I've been in there every day, and they've been peeling away some of the stuff that shouldn't be there. And so today, it looks a little red and raw, but it's actually healing quite nicely. So there shouldn't be any long-term lingering effect, largely because of their good care. So I'm very pleased, actually. And I don't want to burn my hand particularly, but what came out of it actually was not a bad thing overall, because now people throughout the community are looking at their dryer, making sure they have a fire extinguisher nearby, and not running their dryer when they're not home, because if it does catch fire and you're not there, you're in trouble. So we were fortunate in all of those instances that we had all of that in place, and we were able to kind of quash a fire without too much damage. So yes, my hand got a little hurt, but it's minor in the grand scheme of things, and all will be well.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. So this was a New Year's levy podcast, so we're not going to go too deep into issues or have the normal sort of rigorous hard question, tough answer back and forth, because it is New Year's levy. It's a Sunday. Lots of people came out. It was a really great event. Your staff, Mr. Mayor, did a great job. I enjoyed a lot of cider. Hopefully there's still some left out there.
Give it for you.
Okay, I'll take your cider there, Mr. Mayor. So that's it for this podcast. We're going to be back again this week. We have the budget documents hopefully coming Tuesday, big budget vote on Friday. And on the school board side, when do you guys start meeting again?
So we have committee meetings starting this week, and then our board meetings start next Monday, but it's on the website.
Yeah, and for those of you listening in, the school board is now live streaming all of their meetings at their new headquarters up on Upper Wentworth. So I encourage you to go to their site. Of course, I will link to those streams, but I probably will not be up at those meetings, as I'll watch them in my office after spending a day
at
City Hall.
Nice headquarters, by the way. And even though I would have liked to have seen them stay downtown, I think the facility up there is brilliant.
It's
very nice.
I think it's wonderful to have all of our staff together.
Yeah.
They previously were amongst four old schools and the Ed Center, so
yeah.
Five buildings in total. So it's really across the entire city. So it's nice to have everyone.
Yeah, it's very nice.
Well,
it's
going to be interesting to see what happens this fall, because City Hall here is going to be made accessible, which was not done during the renovations in 2010. And that means City Council is going to be looking for a temporary home for a few months while council chambers are redone. So who knows? We might end up there for a few council meetings.
You're more than welcome.
All right.
Every time I show up, I get thrown out.
They do go into
closed. Last time around, it was the entire building. So I was here for 7 months, and then we were out of here at City Center. And then I came back 6 months before the end of the term, and then I got thrown out again. And now I'm going to get thrown out of council chambers. You're telling me I didn't know.
Yeah, so
I'm starting to develop a complex here, Joe.
Well, I think that, you know, you've said that you like being out and about and with the people. So I think the city staff.
So they're throwing me out and about with the people.
That's yeah.
Okay, that works.
All right. Happy New Year. Thank you
again. Happy New Year.
Thanks, Julie.